This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
We're where you want to be.
I knew this was going to play.
Baseball with the Royals. If you want to be.
Having a great time.
If you want to be.
Loving the fun.
If you want to see all of the excitement. This is the place and we're the one. If you want to be. Yelling like crazy. For the guys you love to see. Come on out and join us. This is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
If you want to see
the best of the big leagues,
you want to be
loving the day. Come share the excitement of the stolen bases and double plays.
This is where it happens. Come on and see.
For the very best in baseball, this is the place you want to be.
It's where you want to be, because Josh Verner's with you all day. I'm sure he's going to be on our show, Cody and Gold's show. He's going to have his own show tonight, live in Arizona, in spring training, or at spring training. Vern's Hot Stove, 6 p.m. tonight. Vern, I have missed you, my man. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I would like to know, what year that song came out.
80.
Any way, 80.
Yes.
Okay. I'm wondering if there's any way to get that group back together.
We'll ask Kurt Nelson, who came up with that song, because obviously he probably has them on speed dial. Sure. And then we can, you know, get them into the building. Or it could have just been like from 1980. Like, I always envision, Vern, and you're probably older and can rationalize this with me as well. There's probably about like three people standing around a microphone just singing jingles. And that was like number seven for the day. And then they went on to like the, you know, the Might All jingle or whatever came after that, you know?
I mean, next to what we do, that's kind of a dream job, to be
right.
A jingle writer, singer.
Yeah.
That would be ideal. It could also have been Kurt Nelson doing a Cody Tapp and just layering his own voice.
Could be.
Maybe Kurt has some pipes that we don't know about.
Yeah, he might, so you never know. Yeah, I would like to find that group, though. It would be fun.
All right, Vern, do me a favor. Jack Caglione's going to be on the opening day roster, isn't he?
I wouldn't think so, Dusty.
No, I know.
He's not.
Dang it.
If he is, then something, I would imagine something catastrophic happened out here in Arizona as far as an injury. But, you know, it begins with a guy like Cags. All right, where does he play defensively? Well, right now he's a first baseman and a designated hitter. When you look at the big league club, first base is Vinny and Salvi. DH is... could be a Jonathan India at times, Vinny, Salvi, Freddie Fermin. And, you know, as you guys touched on earlier in the week, this is a team that you can easily make the case is the best squad in the American League Central. I don't need to tell Cags Your first game is going to be in the midst of a division race. Yes, game one of the season, game 50 of the season. We need you to be a key cog in a playoff team. I don't see the need to do that just yet, but injuries and poor performance could elicit that need, and who knows what Cags does down in the minor leagues. Now, would I expect him to be on the opening day roster next season? Would I be shocked if he debuted this year? No. But there's just no need to fast track him right now for a squad that should fear nobody in the division.
Yeah, Vern, I was talking to somebody in the organization yesterday, and they said, as you did, no on the opening day roster. You know, unless catastrophic things happen, you don't want him on the opening day roster. But they also said, we're not opposed to bringing him up, you know, middle of the season if he's hitting well and doing all that kind of stuff, which was refreshing for me to hear that from someone in the organization, whereas we know in the past, maybe they weren't going to bring up players because they didn't want to get the clock ticking on them.
And Bob, you know this as well as anybody, just how different this franchise is under John Sherman than right. It was under the Glass family. That's no knock on the Glass family. That's praise for John Sherman. I brought this up to JJ out at the Royals rally a few weeks ago. It's my opinion, and well, Bob, Dusty, you guys have been here basically your whole life. This is the first time. This is the first, JJ, John Sherman, this combination, it's the first time we've seen the Royals win the offseason, right? Back-to-back years, they've won the offseason. When you compare them to the rest of the American League Central, back-to-back years of having the best offseason in the division, I don't think that's happened since Ewing Kauffman was the owner of this team. And again, that's not a knock on Glass. That's just John Sherman deserves to be talked about.
Yep.
Okay, he doesn't have the hardware that a Ewing Kauffman does, but his love of the city, his love of baseball, and his competitiveness, I think you can liken to Mr. K.
Oh, no question. And I've said it, I think probably this week, Vern, like for the first time since Ewing Kauffman was the owner, you feel good about where ownership is. And I talked to somebody again the other day in the organization. I said, it's really refreshing to have John in place where he's allowing you guys to go out and spend money and make the roster better and giving you that ability to go do that. Like, you think back to all those years with Dayton, and everybody wants to say, well, Dayton didn't do this, Dayton didn't do that. Dayton wasn't allowed to do a lot of things. Let's just call it what it was. And JJ's getting the ability to have an owner that's allowing him to go out there and put a great product on the field. And that wasn't the case with the Glass family.
No, the moves, the great moves that Dayton made, he often and the team often had to part with a little bit more prospect-wise or eat a little bit more money. They were always fighting with one hand tied behind their back, and it appears over the first, really, 5 years, consistently, right out of the gate, Mr. Sherman spent some money on free agency. It was ill-advised where that money ultimately went,
right.
But he has untethered this front office and allowed them to compete with the big boys in the American League. Let me put it a different way, because they're not competing with the Dodgers and the Mets and the Yankees, but they can at least be a true professional baseball team. They're not the Rays and the Pirates and embarrassing aspects of this sport that kind of ruin the competitive balance that we see in other sports.
Vern, I want to bring this up because I used a comparison with Brett Veach and J.J. Piccolo, which I pump the brakes a little bit because J.J.'s yet to get his title or titles, but he addressed a problem that was an issue last year for the Royals this offseason. Everybody was like, where's the bat at? When are we going to get that bat? When are we get the leadoff hitter? I mean, obviously, I think right now the thing is that India is going to be the leadoff hitter, but the bullpen struggled, and not just the bullpen, but like the end of it, where like it needed to be important early on in the season. Will Smith blows a couple saves, goes to the office of the manager and says, hey, it ain't me, man. Somebody else got to do it throughout the season. What are they doing in the offseason? They went and got key free agents to patch up the end of that bullpen. Got to love that move going into this season and maybe what you think could be a 7-8-9 rotation.
Well, they certainly have improved the bullpen. It could be a top five bullpen in the American League, but I will say I think that's the only facet of the team that has clearly improved. Defensively, offensively, and on the mound as far as starting pitching, I can make a case, but I can't vehemently defend the fact that this team has improved in the rotation offensively or defensively. They could be the same as they were last year, and in some aspects that would be perfectly fine if you get the same performance from your rotation. But I can't say that they've improved. Now, when you lose a guy like Brady Singer, you're losing 170 innings. Where are those frames coming from? Where are those quality frames, league average frames coming from? Well, you hope Michael Lorenzen can eat up 100 maybe. But then you look to that bullpen and all of the return of a Hunter Harvey, the full season of a Sam Long, the acquisition of a Carlos Estevez. Last season on the postgame show, we didn't have much debate on the postgame show about Q's decisions third time through the lineup, especially during the regular season, where of course you're going to let Reagans and Waka and Singer and Lugo go back out there and face the opposition's lineup for a third time. Now when you have Urseg and Estevez and Harvey, and you have, again, maybe a top five bullpen in the American League, I think we're going to have a little bit more debate. Lugo's great. Reagans is even better. Waka's as professional as they come, but all three of them logged as many innings as they have in their career, or in Waka's case, the most innings he's put up since 2017. That's going to have some sort of carryover effect into this season. So in that sixth, seventh inning, when Lugo's on the hill at 101 pitches, instead of it being a no-brainer to let him continue to throw, you're going to the bullpen. And as far as how they stack up, Estevez is the highest paid, so you think he's going to get the first crack at the ninth inning. Lucas Urseg's going to be your fireman. He's going to face the middle of the lineup, whether that's the seventh inning, the eighth inning. Of course, he's going to get opportunities to close as well. And then whoever's pitching well at that time, it could be Zerpa, it could be Sam Long, Hunter Harvey, there's John Schreiber. There's plenty of options out there. I think that will be your the Herrera, the HDH aspect. But it's never going to be he's all the time in the seventh. We always see this guy in the eighth, and we always see this guy in the ninth. Those days have passed, and Q's, well, and you don't have HDH exactly. But Q's going to ride leverage just like he did last season.
So how do you feel about that, Vern? As a guy who's been around the game forever and a day, we get so used to the way things are, and then things change, and a lot of people have a tough time adjusting. Just listening to you kind of go through that bullpen, I love that. I think it's great, man. Like, I kind of like the way you're going to put your best versus their best. That's kind of the way it should be. What is your feeling on that, and kind of like the baseball purist feeling on that?
Yeah, listen, I think the reason why it was always so regimented was because you wanted your closer to pick up the saves, because that's how, let me put it this way, relievers wanted the save because that's how they get paid. That was the statistic that a lot of front offices were looking at as to determine who's the best reliever, who's getting the ball in the ninth inning. Well, we've now advanced, we've evolved, and we understand that, giving Holland the ball in the ninth inning to face the 7, 8, 9 hitters for a bad team maybe isn't always the best decision when you're facing their only three quality hitters in the eighth inning. That's the opportunity to go to your big-name closer, your big-arm strikeout reliever. Baseball purists, I think they're even coming around, because again, it's all centered around the statistic of the save. And while, yes, I'll acknowledge, because I've heard from enough pitchers and hitters, that things are different in the ninth inning, that you are getting the most focus from every single batter in that ninth inning. No doubt about it. You can't just throw any schlub out there to face the 7, 8, 9 hitters of a bad team to pick up that save. But thankfully, the Royals have more than one option, right? They have 3, 4, hopefully 5 quality options. So when that's a possibility, when that's available for a guy like Matt Quatrero, he's going to pull the trigger. And I think the fans are starting to come around on that as well. The things that the purists are still maybe a little bit too focused on are, I still think batting average is not talked about too much, but that's the first thing that we go to when there are some other numbers that maybe tell a better story. But the save, I do think that the save is starting to go the way of the RBI, where we respect it, we understand what it says, and it does reflect of a quality player, but it's not the be-all, end-all that it was 20 years ago.
Vern, last three really quick. One, have you figured out what your same for this team is? I know every year it changes.
I have not.
Okay, so we got a while. Two, are you jacked up for this hockey game tonight?
Yes, although I think I'm on the radio at the same, like when it starts. So,
it starts at 7, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not interested in the first period.
Okay.
Well, by the time they get through everything, it's 6:20 by the time the puck drops. So, yeah. You know.
And then third and final, Hot Stove live in Arizona tonight. What's coming up on the show tonight at 6 p.m. on 96.5 The Fan Central Time?
Well, we're going to start starting off Annie Rogers from MLB.com. She's been out here for more than a week and a half. She's going to get us caught up on what we may have missed. And then a cavalcade of your favorite Royals swinging by this Thursday night and every Thursday night from 6 until 7 o'clock. I had a chance to talk with quite a few guys yesterday in that clubhouse, including Freddie Fermin, who, you know, if there's one submission for the best shape of his life, Freddie Fermin looks as strong as ever and has that positive attitude that he learned from Salvi decades ago. I can't wait to see what Freddie has in store for us.
I'm excited about him too, Vern. I really like him as a player. Anybody pulling rubber bands on a fence yet?
No, but I did put my right foot up on the fence and kind of leaned in.
Ooh.
You know that move.
Get a little stretch going. Right. I can feel it pulling in my hammy.
Vern?
You're lucky Andy Reid wasn't there. You got yelled at for leaning against the fence.
Yeah, well, this is baseball.
A lot of leaning.
That's right. That's right. Encouraged.
Vern, love you, brother. Enjoy talking to you again. Enjoy the weather in Arizona. We'll stay here in negative 10 degrees. That's not the wind chill that's degrees, but it's the hot stove tonight that's 100 degrees because you're back.
It's a mindset.
It is a mindset.
It is. That's right. Well, take care, Vern, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Josh Ferner, our Royals insider here on 96.5 The Fan.
They have some breaking news on ice cream nachos and where they're sold in Kansas City.
You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home for ice cream nachos.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
I just want to say how awesome it is to have Bob Fesco and Legend Likens on every morning to start my day. I freaking love you guys.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5.
All right, pay off your tees.
All right, so we were talking about these ice cream nachos, right, that you found yesterday. You're like, how come we haven't had these in our world
before, it's weird, too, the algorithm that I find right when I come out of the garage.
Right,
I'm like, no way, dude. So I sent it to you guys.
Look at these ice cream nachos,
And it's soft serve in one corner, caramel in the other, and then a row of waffle cone chips.
Right, and so as we're talking about it, my friend Pat Daddy's wife, we call her Pat Mommy, Megan, Pat Daddy's the best. She sends a text. She goes, Paul's Drive-In has ice cream nachos. South Kansas City. So we need to go to Paul's Drive-In, which I'm surprised.
If he's got those, that means he's got a hell of a hamburger, too.
Oh, it's a phenomenal place. Yeah. The onion rings there are tremendous. Oh. B-Dub used to talk about Paul's Drive-In all the time out there in South Kansas
Paul's,
City.
Man.
Yeah, right. Like,
they got these onion rings.
Let me tell you something about the onion rings at Paul's Drive-In. I think I've been there one time, and it's one of those places you live out in South Kansas City.
You raw dog the onion ring or dip in ketchup?
I ketchup. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, raw. I think I've used barbecue sauce on onion rings before.
Ranch, or like a ranch ketchup.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I could, you know, if it's Smokehouse, I'll use their ranch, but anywhere else, I just won't. I was looking at a bottle of ranch we had in the pantry today. It was like thick and creamy. I'm like, that just sounds disgusting.
Why is it in the pantry? Shouldn't it be in the fridge?
Well, it's not open yet.
Oh, okay.
You know? And I'm like, ugh, thick and creamy. Like, I'll throw this away. They won't even know.
Paul's has ice cream nachos.
So Paul's Drive-In has ice cream nachos, at least according to my friend Megan, Pat Daddy's wife. So if Megan would know. She's a South Kansas City.
I wonder if there's like an image on Google. If you type in Paul's ice cream nachos, if somebody's with today's modern technology, they've put a picture up.
She says they truly are the bomb. People will drive the distance to come here. Plus, they got a great tenderloin. She says
South KC.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm down. I'm always down to try new places, especially if they're food place. Like, come on now.
Yeah, Paul's has been around for 100 years, man.
I'll drive to High Boy, and it's like a 35-minute drive for me just to get their burger.
High Boy by the stadium I used to go to all the time.
It's awesome. It's great.
It was fantastic, yeah. Wendy's, and High Boy, and then Legs.
Yeah. legs. I think it's something else now. Maybe it's,
I mean, that strip of 40 Highway out there by the stadium is really good eating. I mean,
Dixon's.
You got Dixon's Chili. You got V's Italiano.
Carmen's. Gates.
I mean, so many restaurants right there on that little stretch, well, you know.
Makes sense, right? Like, going to the game. Want to eat before you go to the game. Well,
and shockingly, in 60 years, nothing else has grown out there. You wonder why they want to move these places, right? You know? So, but
Paul's reminds me of a place we used to go to. We go to the lake. So we used to take 71 South to Table Rock Lake when we were kids. And my dad would always stop in Rich Hill at a place called
Swopes. I remember when he pitched for the Cubs.
Mm-hmm. And we'd stop at a place called Swopes. And they had, at the time, one of the best burgers. It was like one of those places, like a Tasty Freeze. Like, they had like a trailer, Sergi, the Susie Q's. The burgers that had like the wax paper.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you know you're in a good spot when it's got the wax paper.
And then you got
the
a soft serve cone on your way out. They'd give it to you, they'd file it all the way up to the top. But yeah, Swopes and Rich Hill.
Yeah, I'm just looking to see if Paul's has got a picture of that.
Paul Italian sandwich, damn good.
Yeah, dude, couldn't find a picture.
Dude.
I'm hungry too.
Have you found a picture of the ice cream nachos?
But they had a ton of pictures of his place though, right? Like food items, and now you're starving.
It's your typical greasy hamburger, fries, tater tots, onion rings, pork tenderloin, like hot dogs, corn dogs. Yeah, they've got everything on the menu.
I promise you right now, I would smash a double cheeseburger and fries. And I should, and I should not.
But if you're gonna be like, if you're gonna have the ice cream nachos, you should have a picture of that and promote that. Like, that needs to be something you're promoting.
Mm-hmm.
They got a mean-looking banana split on here, too.
Yeah, I saw that.
My wife the other day went to Andy's, and she goes, what do you want? I said, a banana split.
That's
she
what you
said,
wanted?
Yeah.
They're good.
She said no.
What?
She's telling you what you can and can't eat?
She denied?
So she came home with that triple chocolate concrete, which was fine, but I wanted a banana split. She's like, I've never had a banana split. I'm like,
well, it wasn't Tuesday.
It wasn't for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I was going to say, were you guys sharing?
No.
What?
And she said no.
No.
Call Jen on the phone.
What the hell?
Put Jen on the air.
Call her up. Seriously. You go, why wouldn't you let him have a banana split?
That's rude.
That is rude.
That's like, yeah.
Dial her up.
Can you give me a spicy McChicken with my meal? No.
I was going to say she's working, but you're right.
No,
she's
not today. There's no school.
I need to get to the bottom of this. You can't have a banana split.
I was told no.
I'd have drove myself.
She was out with the kids. They were in line. It was, you know.
What would have been funny is you DoorDashed a banana split.
Would that even come? Like, it would be melted all over the place.
Doesn't matter.
Right?
You're going to soup it up anyway.
Oh, no. B-Dub Texas. Paul's.
Yeah, dude.
Why did you tell us about the ice cream nachos, B-Dub?
Let me tell you something about the Paul's, Mr. Ass. It might be cold outside, but those onion rings are hot in your mouth, dog.
That's a good B-Dub.
Oh, God.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
They even got a nice twist cone. Speaking of twist cone, shout out B-Dub the Voice, Mr. Barry White.
That's right.
That
banana split looks damn good over at Paul's.
She didn't answer us.
She didn't answer. Of course not.
And don't you dare answer when she calls back. That's your one shot, Jen.
Yep.
Go support her, by the way, with the Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. BMAFoundation.org. Vote for my wife.
My wife. If you try Paul's, you have to try Southside Mafia Pizza. It's right next to it. Insane Pizza. I'll try it all. I'll go to Paul's and get onion rings, a burger, and ice cream nachos, and then I'll go get pizza. I'm just starving. God. All right, let's not talk about food. Let's talk about Myles Garrett for a second.
Random transfer of power there.
Well,
from ice cream nachos to Myles Garrett.
That's right.
Let me tell you about Myles Garrett, man. If he was at Paul's, he'd be the best thing on the menu.
Mm-hmm. So Myles Garrett really going to go to the Philadelphia Eagles?
Like, yes.
Is that the move? Is that the Kevin Durant to Golden State? Like, the best defensive line in football is already Philadelphia. The two best shooters at the time were Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. And then they went and got Kevin Durant. Myles Garrett to Philadelphia, that's nuts. That's insane.
Jeremy Fowler was on one of those ESPN shows the other day. I think it was NFL Live on Tuesday, right? And you know, I'm watching these shows now because there's nothing else to do. So I find myself watching them. And they're not very good, by the way. But Jeremy Fowler was talking about why the Eagles were going to do it. And it's so petty as to why the Eagles would do it that I absolutely love it. Mm. They're not going to do it because it makes them better. They're going to do it because there's rumors that Washington wants Myles Garrett. And so they're going to do it and make the trade and offer up a better deal to block Washington from getting him on their team, which I just think is a baller move, right? Like, that is one of the coolest things ever, where Philadelphia is like, we like Myles Garrett, but we're not letting you get him, so we're going to sweeten our offer and make the strength of our team even stronger by going out and getting Myles Garrett. I think it's a great move for, hell, it's a great move for anybody who goes out and gets Myles Garrett.
I just think that, like, that's one of those things where, like, so many people want to repeat. I would 100% take the Eagles over the field if they had Myles Garrett.
I think you'd have to at
because
this
not only
point,
that,
right?
Like, he is, like, we were just talking about in the break, the kid from Penn State, I'm drawing a blank on his name.
That's Abdul cool. Carter.
Yep. Abdul
best
Carter.
Best player in the draft, right. And it's not even close.
And Bob thinks he should go number one overall.
Right, right. I think he's the best player in the draft.
Myles Garrett went number one overall in the draft class that had Mahomes and all those other players in there. Christian McCaffrey. Trubisky was obviously in that draft. Deshaun Watson.
Allen.
Leonard Fournette.
Allen was
Josh
next
Allen
year,
was next year.
Yeah.
But, like, Myles Garrett went number one overall. Like, Mahomes.
Deshaun Watson was in that draft.
That's right.
Watson! Yes!
McCaffrey. There was a safety that Seattle drafted that ended up going playing for the Jets. I can't think of his gosh.
Oh, yeah, Adams.
Yeah, yeah, Jamal Adams.
Jamal Adams, who I liked, and then he kind of went haywire and got, like, Aaron Rodgers
and
out
he got
of New
hurt.
York. Then he got hurt, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I know exactly where Paul's is. It's on my way home.
Okay.
So Aussie just texted me. He's like, you know, I know exactly. If it's by Mafia Pizza, I used to buy bourbon at the gas station. It's right there on the corner. So I know exactly where it's at. Might have to stop. But it's, yeah. Like, Myles Garrett is that good, and he's got that much juice left in the tank.
He's got a lot of juice in the tank.
That, like, he could single-handedly win you 3 to 4 games if he's in Philadelphia.
See, I was going to say probably about 2 to 3 games, but I wouldn't, you know, debate 3 to 4 games because you come up with a big play on defense and a big sack at the end, and, I mean, who knows what that could lead to, right?
Yeah.
Myles Garrett is a difference maker, and I know people will look around and say, oh, they should have drafted Patrick. A lot of people should have drafted Patrick Mahomes. It's easy to go back and look at history.
Yeah.
At that time, he was the best player in the draft. He just happened to go to Cleveland and ruined his career. That's not his fault that he went to Cleveland and really never had an opportunity to do much, but he did, I think, took him to the playoffs at least 2 times, you know, mm-hmm. by having Myles Garrett, you know, there in Cleveland. So I think he's an amazing player. I think Philadelphia gets him. It's going to be just, oh God, Philadelphia. It's going to be like the Chiefs 2.0. Everybody's going to be pissed at the Eagles, and rightfully so.
Right.
I mean, there'll be more of the Los Angeles Dodgers than any
then
other team.
They'll start to be hated.
Right. And everybody will hate them and forget about us. And we'll get a noon game on a Sunday every once in a
Please.
While. So,
or a 3:25 game. I mean, either way,
we're fine with either one. But I do. I think Abdul Carter is by far the best player in this draft. I think he's the biggest difference maker in this draft. And if you're trading out of number one, if you're Tennessee, whoever trades in better be taking Abdul Carter, because there isn't a quarterback in this draft, in my opinion, that is a franchise quarterback right now.
No Jackson
right now,
Dart?
Right now or in general?
No, in the draft.
In the draft. No, right now. Right now. This year. Yeah. Okay. This year's draft. There's not a... I mean, Jackson Dart's going to climb up the ladder, obviously, as we've seen. I don't know that he's a franchise quarterback. If he was a franchise quarterback, why didn't we really talk about him much during the college football
season? And this isn't a stab at you. This is a promise. But how much did you know about Jalen Daniels when he was coming out as a rookie from LSU, other than the fact that he won the Heisman?
A lot more than Jackson Dart did. You know, a lot more than you do with Jackson Dart.
Or like Cam Daniels Ward or Shedeur Sanders?
Shedeur Sanders you knew about because of his old man, mm-hmm. and rightfully so. Doesn't mean he's a good player and he's going to be a good NFL player, and that three-ring circus coming mm-hmm. to town. I don't know if any NFL team wants to deal with that. Mm-hmm. Cam Ward, I think, has gotten better as the season has, like, dissipated and gotten away from us. You know, I think people have gotten more of it. Same with Jackson Dart. And that's where I was kind of questioned, like, you're just now becoming a household name. Like, you had all of college football season. And again, some of that's the media mm-hmm. and Dion and doing all that kind of buzz. I don't think there's a franchise quarterback in this year's draft at all. And Binkley will tell you he doesn't think there's one in next year's franchise draft. It's why Quinn Ewers is coming out this year, because he knows there's no quarterbacks in this draft worth taking. It was like the guy who played at Missouri for all those years and then was with the Chiefs 2 seasons ago as the backup quarterback. And I can't remember the guy, Blaine Gabbert.
Yes.
Right. When he came out, he was a 12th overall pick by Jacksonville. Had he come out the next season, he wouldn't have been a first round draft pick. Mm-hmm. And so you start to survey that. Quinn Ewers is going to, you know, be one of these drafted guys. I mean, I'm like,
Carson Beck. Yeah.
There's Paul's ice cream nachos.
Oh, they got them. They're $5.99.
Yes. Aussie sent us one.
There it is, the ice cream. That's great by Paul's.
Here's your ice cream nachos. Crikey.
So that's where I'm looking at it right now. Abdul Carter is the best player that I've seen in this draft, and I don't believe there's a franchise quarterback that I'd be willing to take in the first round at this point in time.
Text line, Bo Nix comparison to Jackson Dart this year.
Bo Nix kind of, you know, took off as the season ended or dissipated, and we moved into the overanalyzation of the quarterbacks at this time. But like, if I'm a coach right now or I'm a GM and I'm looking at these quarterbacks, I'm signing Sam Darnold. I'm going to get J.J. McCarthy for a trade. Maybe I'm trying to trade with Atlanta to get Kirk Cousins. You know, maybe Matthew Stafford is a guy that I'm looking at. I don't want to build my franchise around any of these quarterbacks. But somebody, they'll all go, and they'll all make mistakes, and it'll be a disaster, and we'll kind of repeat this cycle. If you pass on Abdul Carter at number one, you're asking to suck.
And then Mac reported the Jets are trying to get into the number one pick of the draft.
Yeah, speaking of that number one pick, yeah, Titans think about trading out, which they should trade out.
They should. They should absolutely trade out.
And I think
that
they will.
Unless they're going to take Abdul Carter, right?
Because they
don't have a quarterback. You're not taking a wide receiver. You're not going running back or anything like that. Like, you got a lot to build if you're Tennessee right now.
Abdul Carter would be that guy for Vrabel, though. Like, they would have that connection. Like, your franchise player.
If New England were able to trade up.
What's New England picking second? Third?
They're up there. Yeah.
I think they pick fourth or third because it's Tennessee.
Yeah, it's Tennessee, Cleveland, New York, then New England. Okay. So, yeah, they could make that trade up.
Yeah, that's what if I'm Vrabel, I trade for the first pick, and I go get – because you have your quarterback.
You have your quarterback. Absolutely, yeah. You have your quarterback.
And you're a defensive-minded guy, and you go get that guy, and you're like, you know what? Pat and Andy are together. You and I are together, and we're going to change the game on defense.
I love that.
And they have a top corner in Christian Gonzalez, so you pair him up. That'd be good.
You have your quarterback. Then you just go build your offensive line and go – you have money. Yeah. They have money to spend. And you go get a free agent wide
money,
receiver.
The money that they have to spend is insane. They got like $125 million to spend this offseason.
Plus the cap just went up massively again. I mean, Amazon.
Thanks, Amazon. Thanks to Taylor as well. Didn't you send the article that she's...
SI.
The NFL has earned $1 billion in money since she's been around, directly responsible for that?
Mm-hmm.
No player in the NFL is generating the money that Taylor Swift is generating in the NFL.
Chiefs merchandise is up. That helps the NFL.
I mean, it all helps the NFL. Sales, so Tony Dungy, you know, put that in your pipe and smoke it when it comes to complaining about Taylor Swift.
I don't smoke, Bob. That's what he would say.
He does more for the NFL and generates more money for the NFL than the players are doing right now. Maybe with the exception of Mr. Mahomes at this point in time.
Tony Dungy looks like the type of guy that gets a towel out of the car or out of the gas pump to grab the gas pump.
Yes. Germs.
Now I do hand sanitize after the gas pump, but I don't know that I've ever grabbed the towel.
Tony Dungy.
No, during COVID I did because we didn't know.
Well, we're 6 years removed.
Yeah, right. During COVID I did. You know,
Tony Dungy looks like the kind of guy that like jiggles the gas pump like 17 times before he takes it out, and then like has like the long. What else does Tony Dungy look like? The Martian that got signed in the free agency.
Mm-hmm.
For the Yankees to play in center field.
Yes, he's the Martian.
Yeah, Martian. He's going to play center field for the Yankees. That was Mac on Tuesday.
That's his name, The Martian.
The Martian.
No, that's his nickname. I looked it up. It's
a Martian.
Jason Dominguez or something.
Yeah, like Jason Dominguez, their rookie who has two S's in
his
name.
Two S's, yep, two S's. That's it.
They call him The Martian?
The Martian.
He's a huge man. Like, Martians are tiny, I would imagine.
That's probably the joke.
Somebody makes a good point to your Taylor Swift thing. The NFL should be doing everything they can to keep Travis from retiring.
No doubt. They probably are.
Well, I
would you be
retire,
surprised if the
but,
NFL's like writing residual checks to Travis?
Yeah, I wouldn't retire,
scenes.
But Goodell showed up in Leawood.
He showed up with a bag, and I'm talking a huge bag of cash.
Hey, you left this in New Orleans, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, is it Harrison's suit? No. It's your contract that no one knows about.
That's right. This is a bag full of cash. If you keep playing, it's all yours.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll keep going.
Yeah, I guess I'll risk it. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's crazy, though. I mean, when you think about how much money and what Taylor Swift has done for the NFL, then the salary cap goes up more than they expected.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about
it. Way to go, Taylor.
Yeah. We're going to get into some prop bets that you can look at tonight for the United States versus Canada. We'll get into that next on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Fesco and Dusty.
913-586-7965. Call in right now and tell me how much I suck.
On Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Protagonist, antagonist. Normally Fesco's the antagonist. Right now he's the protagonist. So of course Jen couldn't answer the phone call. Blew your one opportunity, Jen. Sorry.
Love you. You're a sweetheart. But we get to it. We get down to the nitty gritty. Jen, never had a banana split. Gross. Mac, don't limit Bob's dessert ventures. Bob, thank you, Mac. Why do you get, then I said, why do you get to decide what he wants for dessert? He's never asked for that in 19 years. So when he did, you said no? Yes, because I knew he really didn't want it.
That's it.
But
that's the classic woman answer.
She knows what you want.
Classic woman answer.
That's it.
And gone.
And you're gone.
Yeah. I don't eat a lot of that sweets and that kind of stuff. I was looking through the Andy's menu and I saw the banana split. I'm like, God, I haven't had one of those maybe since I was a kid. I'd like a banana split. You asked me what I wanted. I told you a banana split. You told me I didn't want that. You're not my mother. This is my mother growing up. They say kids of my generation don't like cauliflower because we were served it in a bag that was thrown in the microwave and it was mushy.
Or you got it cold in a veggie tray.
Yeah, right. It was just not my thing. Now, I do like cauliflower crust pizzas. I do like rice cauliflower and stuff
give
like
me the
that.
Dough, dude.
Mashed cauliflower. I can eat all that, but like regular cauliflower, no, I'm not doing it. And the reason was because the way we were served this cauliflower growing up, it was nasty. And my mother goes, you like it? I don't. Stop telling me what I like and what I don't like. You don't know what I like and what I do. Just because I haven't eaten something in, 30 years doesn't mean I don't like it. How often do you order a banana split?
Yeah, well, that's like your opinion, man.
Like, how often do you sit down and say, I'd like a banana split?
I think I've had three in my life.
Maybe. That's about it for me.
And I think I can tell you everywhere I've had them. I've had one at Custard's Last Stand. I've had one at Dairy Queen, and I've had one at a place. These Blue Springs guys will know this on the text line if you're an old school soul in Blue Springs. It's called Soft Serve Depot. It was awesome. It was just a little ice cream store that had a train inside that ran around the ceiling.
Fun.
Oh, greatest ice cream store I've ever had in my life. Soft Serve Depot.
Not open anymore?
No.
Was it by the train station in downtown Lee Summit?
It is in Blue Springs.
Oh, Blue Springs.
Yeah.
You said that. My bad.
It's okay.
But you said Depot, then I'm thinking train.
It's called Soft Serve Depot. My dad used to be like basically Michael Scott. He was a paper salesman. And he sold them their cups, their boats, their napkins, all that. So we'd go in there and, got a little discount. And it was, it was called Soft Serve Depot. It was so good. And then McDonald's got built and took it down.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, dude. It broke my heart. And they had the best cherry dipped cone. You ever had a dipped cone?
I never had a chip.
Yes.
Cherry dipped cone.
Oh, they got one at DQ as well. But they had cherry chocolate and caramel, or they called it like butterscotch. Mm. And it was just,
well, was it caramel or was it butterscotch?
I don't know. It was brown. I think it was caramel.
Butterscotch sounds really good. Yeah, butterscotch sundaes.
And it was so great. They'd show you, they'd dip that sucker, give it right back to you, and then as soon as you got in your car, you could just see it bleeding out of the shell, and my dad'd be like, you gotta eat that quick.
If there's not a banana split when I get home today, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Yeah, Jen, you know what to do. God, I'm hungry.
I told you, it's my fault, dude.
I'm not even hungry. Like,
I walked into your studio and showed you this chicken or the chicken Caesar sandwich.
That's like an hour and a half ago. Since then, it's food.
God, Soft Serve Depot, best ice cream ever from the 816. Yes, it was.
When did they close that joint?
Gosh, had it been like 99, 98, somewhere around there. I was young going in there because I was still living in Blue Springs. Banana Royale, a banana split, but the banana is sliced and topped with the various condiments. Because it's chocolate, pineapple, and strawberry, right?
Hell if I know. I didn't care what it was. I just wanted ice cream on top of a banana.
Damn banana split.
Yeah, you can do pineapple on those, I think. Yeah,
I think that's what it was.
Who the hell are you to tell me I don't like a banana split? You don't know that.
D-I-V-O.
Yeah, this is what's going to come to, right?
Well, I'm going through the big D and don't mean Dallas. Shout out Mark Chestnut. United States and Canada props or marriage props. Will there be a fight within the first minute of the game tonight? Plus 1,000, yes. Minus 5,000, no. Take the money and go plus 1,000.
See, I'm going to say no. I think we got the fights out of our system in that first game in the first minute. I think we'll see some fights, but I don't think we'll have dropped the gloves like we did on Saturday night.
How many fights will there be? 0, 1, 2, or 3? 2 is plus 800. 3 or more is plus 500. 1 fight plus 150. That's good money.
I think so, yeah.
Plus 150 for a fight?
Somebody's a fight, though. But I think there'd probably be more than one.
So you would take the 3 or more at plus 500?
I think I would do the 2 at plus 800. Because that's giving you the best odds.
You're just weird.
But that's weird because it's just 2. There can't be any more.
That's right. 2.
So that's why
I guess that's why it's plus 800. Yeah,
because they feel like, which I do believe is kind of the case, once one starts and it spills over to
for
the
sure.
next.
Yeah,
and
all that contagious.
Kind of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hope it's 3 or more.
When does the first fight happen? First period is plus 200.
Second period of the hockey game is plus 300. Third period is plus 350. Overtime plus 150.
I think, you know, that's a tough one
to gauge.
It is, but I'm going to say first period plus 200.
That's going to go so fast that I don't know if we're going to have time. Where I would probably put my money, I'm going to go a different one. I would say second period is when you see it because they've played, they've said their things, they've done, and then they've had a little bit of a break.
Or but we also had a fight in the first 3 seconds, too.
There was a booing of the national anthem.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a little bit there, so.
I don't know. Like, I think the longer the game goes, obviously, the more tired you get, you know? So, like, get that fight out of the way early.
That's maybe. True. That's a good point.
This is so funny, these last two.
Yeah.
Will a player be bleeding after the first fight? Yes, plus 600. No, minus 1,500.
Yeah, take the yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
You get punched in the nose, man. Because what's the rule? Gloves off, helmet off, then you pull the other guy's shirt up, and then boom. I think that's what happened to Gilmore Tommy.
Yeah, yeah, you're supposed to, but that's now when they end it, when it starts to get like that. They'll let you go, and then you pull the sweater, and it's over.
Because didn't it used to be once you hit the ice, it was over?
Once you hit the ice, you still went, and then they finally broke you up, you know?
Yeah.
Now they it's CTE.
So I have a question. Okay. They doing that in the USC?
Protecting people's brains.
So, no, I mean, that's what they're doing now. That's why they've stopped, you know.
I have a question. So, like, if you were a kid in youth hockey, did they, like, teach you how to fight? Like, they teach you how to skate and shoot?
I don't think so.
They just were like, go naturally learn how to fight? Like, somebody's going to try to kick your ass one day? Like, good luck?
I mean, I think that would be kind of, I don't know. Honestly, is that illegal? You're teaching kids how to fight?
No, you can just call it self-defense.
Yeah.
Bring, like, a self-defense instructor and be like, here's the 1-2 combo.
I would imagine in today's environment with every Karen and their silver minivan running around, probably not going to teach that because they would be up there talking to the manager right away. Maybe you're just teaching my son how to fight? This is supposed to be hockey. Good night, Karen.
Somebody says if they boo the national anthem again, you know they're dropping gloves immediately after that puck drops. 100%. I think they learned their lesson. Somebody said kill them with kindness.
That's my thing.
And said put the Canadian national anthem up on the screen and the words and let everybody sing it.
Oh, that's good too. I do like that one. That'll really tick them off.
Oh, yeah. Somebody says, speaking of fights, when are you guys going to break down the fight between Mahomes Sr. and John Rocker? It's fake.
It's fake. It's a fake fight.
That's why we never talked about it. You got duped if you believed it.
Yeah. And, you know, he had to reveal that it was fake for, like, court order stuff. So, it's over.
Yeah, so that's why we never talked about it.
Yeah.
We win.
Yeah, exactly.
As soon as I saw it, I sent it to you guys. I was like, and this is why we didn't touch it.
Yeah.
It's fake. And then the last one that you have on here, and these are, like, offshore bettings. So, like, I don't think you can find these on DraftKings. Maybe you can find them on, like, FanDuel or under. I don't know. Which team's player will bleed first after the fight, Canada or the United States?
I'm going to say the United States.
I ain't hear no bell.
I'm going to say it's an American.
Gosh. Do hockey players cry during the national anthem?
I don't know.
I'm sure some do.
Because, like, if they're so prideful of it, you'd think that they'd be like Chris Jones or, like, no Sean Marino out there.
Yep.
I still can't believe that tear that fell from Sean Marino's eye.
Oh, my God. That's still one of the best.
I cannot get over it. I'm like, how is that? Like, maybe it's just the way that it was shot. But, I mean, like, yeah.
Apparently, the tear didn't happen for Jones in the Super Bowl this time. I don't know. We were there. So
that's why they lost.
I was going to say, that's why.
They had the camera there waiting for it, too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Apparently, it didn't happen.
Every time I think of fight instructor, I think of Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes.
You think I'm upset when I go home to Darla at night? And then she's out there with Uncle Rico.
Yeah.
What a movie. I need to watch that again.
You ever see that movie, Mac?
It's a great one.
Oh, wow.
That movie also ruined John Hader's career.
Career. Killed it.
Because he could never play anything else.
Like Costanza ruined Jason Alexander's career for the most part.
Well, Dustin Checks In was really good. But yeah, like he was in Benchwarmers, and I was like, this is Napoleon Dynamite with a helmet on.
What was it? Blades of Glory. Blades of Glory. Yep. Kind of same thing.
Yeah, John Hader never was able to really do anything after that.
It made a lot of money for him, but then ruined his career.
Gosh.
Every time. Get your own tater tots, go.
Like Michael Richards, right? Like, I know he went kind of...
Well, he was racist.
Yeah, but not for a long period of time. Right. You know, he didn't do anything and then became racist, you know, in that stand-up routine some 15 years after. But he didn't do anything after Seinfeld until we found out he was a bigot.
Yeah. Coaches teach you how to defend yourself in Little League hockey. Coming up on the other side, Missouri did something really great last night, plus what we need to get into, maybe some more Royals talk, and why the salary cap is, well, it's fake. 913-586-7965. That's Jay Southland, Tow Service text line. This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.